The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, everybody.
Hello. Happy belated 4th of July. Yes. 6 days later.
I know. We're actually just recording this just a few days afterwards.
I mean, I think the real question, John, is like, how was your 4th?
My 4th was great. How was yours?
Were there libations with your celebrations?
Well, to be honest, I was out of town. I went home back where I'm from, Maryland.
Mm-hmm. Killed a couple people.
Well,
and then
I celebrated with Adnan Syed, who is... At the Western Maryland Correctional Institute, which is just down the street from where I grew up.
In Cumberland.
In Cumberland, Maryland.
That's good to know.
So shout out to Adnan, who's hanging out over there. But I actually ended up coming back to New York the night of July 4th. So I only saw, you know, fireworks from the highway.
From your periphery.
Yeah, exactly.
I got it. All right.
But it was fun, you know.
I saw a few fireworks. But I'm happy to be back talking about what we do best.
Yes.
Drinking and murder.
Yes, that's a good point. And, you know, initially we didn't have a drink of the week because Matt was busy daydreaming about cookouts and fireworks still. But then at the last minute, things turned all the way around and now we do have one. So
great.
Just want to get right into it, Matt.
It's some sort of firecracker.
Yeah,
but
hopefully it's something interesting. Let's hear what Matt cooked up in the last couple hours.
Let's see.
All right, Matt.
Hello. I'm going to get a lot of shit for this one. I'm going to brace myself right now. So this whole month on Oxygen.com is Crimes of Passion Month. So this episode is a crime of passion. And my original thought was to have a passion fruit martini. But, you know, we're in Midtown Manhattan. You can't just run to the store, any old store, and get passion fruit. I tried. It was not possible. So I came up with a raspberry martini, which is going to be a little bit red. I don't know, you know,
better be red.
It's a little bit of a stretch, but come on.
Okay.
And that is 3 raspberries, 1 1/2 ounce raspberry infused vodka, 1/2 ounce sweet vermouth, but we'll leave the vermouth out so John won't die.
Thank you.
Maybe. 1/2 fresh squeezed lemon, and that's it. Shake it all up.
I'm a little disappointed because I feel like I mentioned the passion fruit martini last week and everyone was really gung-ho about it and you had a solid week to look and find for it. You had full week. But raspberry's fine, Matt. It's just fine. Yeah, I'm super stoked.
Oh, I'm going to get it all episode. All episode. Goodbye.
Well, we should also say, and yes, thank you, Matt, for at least coming up with
something.
Yeah, Dan, your wife is here.
Yeah.
People really love that from last week's episode. But yeah, you did have a solid week. You know, I also want to mention, I have seen the liquor cabinet that we have here at the Martinis and Murder Studio, which is actually in Matt's office.
Is it dwindling? Is it
sad? I was just saying, like, it probably makes sense that we start to recycle some of this stuff because Matt has literally probably 20 or 25 bottles of things in his cabinet.
Good.
So, I understand raspberries are red. It is what it is. Let's just go with that for this week's episode, okay?
Fine.
Okay, so let's get into this week's murder. I can't wait for my drink, though, I'll be
honest.
Let's
do it. We finally have pictures. We have some evidence, or receipts, as some of the housewives like to say.
Yes.
To give us a little visual image for us to kind of, well, try and describe what's going on. It's a lot of names, but this one's actually a really interesting case. It was actually a Snapped episode originally. So let's start with who Exandia Salado is.
Okay.
Born Exandia Hynida Link in Florida in 1971. She grew up in the Midwest. She lived with her mother, grandmother, and siblings in Chicago. She, however, grew up fairly poor. She was an amazing straight-A student. A detective actually told Snapped on Oxygen, she's not the type of person to back away from a challenge. She's not the type of person to take no for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so she's strong-willed. She's feisty, yeah. It kind of seems. After graduation, Exandia left home, and by age 20, she was living in California and married to her first husband. She got that shit done quick.
And again, we're back in California.
Always.
Matt's hometown.
They had two children, a boy and a girl. And soon after their son was born, the couple was divorced, and Exandia became a single mother of two by the age of 23.
Mm.
So talk about life experiences so quickly on. I mean, you and I aren't even close to that.
I know, I can
yet
imagine.
Much older.
Yeah.
To support her family, Exandia enlisted in the Navy, where she became an avionics technician. So she's got, that says something if you're going to go.
I agree.
If you're going to at least go into the Navy, but also support your family. I mean, that's a very strong woman.
Totally.
An attorney actually said she worked hard in the military, did well, traveled, saw large parts of the world, obviously. She said she was brilliant on computers.
And, you know, I think we talked about this in a previous episode. You know, she loved computers. I remember you had a birthday party where you had nothing but computers.
My mom found the invite and corrected me. I think I said it was like 9, but it was really 10.
Okay.
I wish Exandia had been there to help us all with our computer skills.
Yeah, I just wanted to point that out because you did love a good
computer. Love a good
computer.
Love a good computer. So she actually excelled in her career, but was always there for her children. As we said, she really wanted to support them. And by 23, she had a lot to prove.
Mm-hmm.
Her daughter, Alejandra, told Snapped, "My childhood was actually really good. I remember every Sunday my mom would take me and my brother to the bookstore. We used to have little dance parties when we were younger with my mom, so she's really fun to be around." I think that's such a nice memory to have. Like, I always have little memories of my parents,
totally.
Like the smallest little things. And it brings back so much joy to my life.
Yeah, no, definitely. And also, I think this really highlights, again, what we kind of talk about a lot on the show is how typical and just normal these people's lives are that
definitely.
Get turned upside down. Well, Exandia meets a guy named Manny Salado. Manny Salado was from the Dominican Republic and also served in the U.S. Navy. Exandia met him one night at a club when she was out with friends, and they quickly fell in love. A journalist told Snapped, quote, "You could tell why men would be enchanted with her because, I mean, she's a bit of a looker," end quote.
We have some pictures here.
Yeah, she's
John, are you sexually attracted to Exandia? That's the question we all want to know.
I think I have to rule her out.
You're shaking it.
Thank you, Matt. That's a great way to move on from that question.
Yeah.
As we have the shaker.
You're like, oh, it's martini time.
Yeah, martini time. Nothing
we'll answer
to talk
that question
about
later.
Here. I don't know. I will say she's a typically attractive person. Yeah, for
sure. She puts herself together well.
Yeah,
she's got a lot of makeup. She looks very nice. She's got good hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, her daughter also said, quote, "My mom is very beautiful. I believe she's the most beautiful woman in the world."
Oh.
She also said that her mom is very outgoing and funny and goofy, as we kind of just mentioned.
Seems a little biased.
Just
but
now, right.
Okay.
It's your daughter. It wasn't long until Manny bonded with Exandia's kids, and when Manny was transferred to Chicago, the whole family followed him there. So in 2002, Exandia and Manny had their first child together, a little girl. A prosecutor said, quote, "He was a very active father, and he was very hands-on in his household." On October 15th, 2002, Exandia and Manny got married. She became a stay-at-home mom, and Manny stayed in the Navy on active duty. But even as a housewife, Exandia was industrious. She started her own business, making websites for other people.
That just goes to show her true character, like not wanting to sit around. Like she clearly is a go-getter. They both were in the Navy. Like that says something.
Totally. I think that definitely says something. Also, I think it's worth noting here early, she's making websites for other people. Keep that in your back pocket.
She's good at computers, people.
She's good at computers. Just like Darren was at her 9th or 10th birthday party.
Thank you, John.
We're not sure if it was 9 or 10. But
hopefully my life won't end up the same way as Exandia's.
Let's see what happens here. So, you know, as I mentioned, she's busy making these websites. She also took control of the household. Her daughter, Alejandra, said that her mom was the more dominant one in the relationship and handled most of the parenting. A police detective said, quote, she was definitely the one wearing the pants in the family, if you know what I mean. So, okay, it sounds like she's the one that's kind of like taking control.
Right.
She runs all the discipline. She runs all the parenting.
She's certainly the matriarch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
In every sense of the word.
She was also in control of the finances, however, and dictated what Manny could and couldn't spend.
Which is kind of interesting, and it seems like a little bit of a role reversal here.
Yeah, you're right.
I think traditionally it's mostly, we were sort of talking about that in pre-production, it's mostly men, but not that it's a bad thing, but I think that's an interesting point to kind of, you know, note out that she is the one kind of dominating here.
Right.
After a few years of marriage, actually, friction began to show between Exandi and Manny. You know what? You know what the friction's showing in this room?
What's that?
Where the fuck is my martini?
Well, that's a good point. We're now 9 minutes and 43 seconds in.
Like, I'm in and I don't see it. Like, I never get to speak again before I have a drink.
Well, the other thing is he had a whole week.
Exactly.
To make these drinks
and
for us.
And how big is a fucking raspberry?
Oh, wow.
Passion
here he
fruit
comes
I get
around.
Up. There we go. Oh, that's good timing, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
Someone's
wow.
ears were burning.
I will say, I don't remember our raspberry ones being so pink, so I'm kind of into this one.
They look like passion fruit.
No, you know me personally. I love a good fruity drink.
Yeah.
So this one is kind of right up my alley. Matt, do you have yours? Here we go. We're going to cheers, bitch.
Cheers, bitches.
Shout out to Travis, who was the originator of hashtag cheers, bitch. What do you think?
I thoroughly enjoy. Okay. Let me just say.
I really want
it. It's very chilled.
Okay, yes. That's
and
what
raspberry
I like.
Is my favorite fruit.
Oh, I didn't know that about you.
So it has a real, it does, it's not overly, I mean, mine has vermouth in it, but I think you're going to find it to be like really subtle. Nice.
Matt, just to confirm, mine does not have vermouth, correct?
Correct. He's nodding
behind me. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But Matt loves to fuck with us. Yours is probably 100% vermouth with like red
I'm
going to
die. No, I'm going to die. Okay, I'm going to do a slurp for all the slurper fans out there. Okay.
It's
I was expecting it to be a little sweeter. It's a little
that's
tart.
That's why I like it.
Yeah. No, it does taste good. It tastes like an icy but not slushed. There you go. Oh, Matt's taking my drink away. It has vermouth in it.
Oh, good. My phone just froze.
Matt just literally took the drink right out of my hand. I have no idea what he's doing. Darren, can you see behind me? Can you see what he's doing?
No,
Your phone's freezing.
My phone's free. I can't see what he's...
Everything just fell apart all at once.
There's a lot going on, people.
Well, while your phone figures itself out...
It's loading. It's all happening.
Well,
I don't know why it did that. I think it's because it knew that Matt was serving the martini.
That's probably what happened. Well, let me pick up here where we were.
Oh, so you're going to read my part
Well,
now.
What do you want me to do? The show must go on. I almost just knocked a drink out of Matt's hand.
Taste it now without the vermouth.
Was this without vermouth, Matt? What's happening here? You just took my drink away, and I don't know what happened to it. Tell us.
He's like...
Oh, sugar.
We wanted it to be sweet.
Yes, I did want it to be sweet. Okay, let me take another sip. Okay, that's a little bit better. I like
Is
that.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right, well, I mean, now you have sugar in there.
Yes,
so maybe your energy will be a little up.
I really liked it. It's so much better
One
with
more
a little...
sip, and then I'll tell you about their marriage.
Okay, one more sip.
Because this is a drunken ride, people.
Absolutely.
All right, so after a few years, as I was saying, their friction began to kind of show between Exandi and Manny. Her daughter said... She would pick a fight or something, or he would pick a fight. He wasn't the type to like to talk out an argument. He would just like leave. So that caused a lot of problems, which, by the way, I think we can both say,
we
being
both
in relationships,
know.
Leaving in the middle of an argument is such a low blow.
I would say this. You and I are very close outside of this show.
We have very similar
We had a lot of people in our lives who just don't want to talk about things.
And I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
But say something. Be like, I need a minute.
There you
people
go.
People just like fucking walk out.
Yeah. All right. There's our connection to
there
the
case.
There it is. Yeah.
That's the moral.
Mm-hmm.
The Navy transferred Manny to Oklahoma City in 2006, and Exandia took the opportunity to work on their marriage. That's great news. She sent the two older children to live with their grandparents temporarily in Florida, and she, Manny, and their five-year-old daughter went to Oklahoma.
Don't you find that just a little odd? That you would send your grown children to go live with their grandparents so that you can...
That does seem... When, like,
I don't know.
Considering that she wanted to work on the marriage,
right.
I don't know if it was... And this is all speculation. Maybe because those children weren't his technically.
Right.
They just wanted to focus on that family. And
okay.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they were... It's hard to say because you'd think you'd want to focus on just being a family altogether. But
yeah, I definitely was kind of like, exactly, that was my point.
I didn't read too much about why she had done that. I just kind of accepted that as
totally,
as a fact. So Exandi actually already had a friend in Oklahoma City when they were moving there. Her best friend from the Navy, April Stubbs, great last name.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the only person she actually knew. They rented an apartment, and Exandi went about setting up a computer company. Loves computers.
Loves her a good computer.
Manny's enlistment finally ended, and he left the Navy and went back to work with several temp companies.
Mm-hmm.
The temp work wasn't steady, of course, and didn't pay well, and the couple started having money troubles, which put a lot of strain on their relationship. As we know, money's like always the big thing it for does a relationship.
And that was one of the things Sharon Martin said on whenever we did that interview. I think it was like episode, 12 or something? It was so long ago. She said a lot of the people that kill, they do it over money or some kind of like...
It isn't just lust.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
Like we have financial troubles or... I mean, even last week's where the wife, they killed the wife and she was like worth so much money.
Right, right.
Just, or that was 2 weeks ago. I can't remember. There's a lot of murder in our lives.
There's a lot of murder over money, yes.
So he went to go work with several temp companies, but obviously was a little unsteady. It didn't pay well.
Uh-huh.
Her daughter actually said, I could see that they were not happy being with each other anymore. Things changed. There wasn't like no laughter really anymore. Little things that they would do would aggravate the other person,
mm-hmm.
which is usually a recipe for disaster when you just see that all you want to do is fight.
And we see that a lot here at Martinis and Murder with Matt. You know,
every time Matt says something, I'm like,
it used
shut
to be so
up.
Fun, and we're like, Matt, shut up.
Even when Matt was like, "Hey, how was your fourth?" I was like, "Fuck
shut
you."
Shut up. So painful.
Manny joined the Army Reserves to make some money, but Exandia wasn't happy as it wasn't a well-paid line of work.
Mm-hmm.
She was so angry with him that in October of 2007, after 5 years of marriage, she just started packing up things from the apartment with April's help. Again, hate when people just leave during an argument.
We're just going to keep reiterating that throughout this entire episode.
But it actually wasn't. She didn't believe it was just the money issues of why Exandia started packing. She actually believed that Manny was cheating on her.
So was Manny cheating on Exandia? Let's find out. So in the spring of 2007, Manny had gone to the Dominican Republic for his brother's wedding. And because Manny went home alone, Exandia became suspicious. Her daughter said, quote, Manny was not faithful to my mom during their marriage. I do believe that he was seeing someone in the Dominican Republic.
Now, let me point this out, because they were married. They were working on their marriage.
Right.
It's his fucking brother's wedding in the Dominican Republic. Why would you not take your wife?
That's a good point.
Like, why? That's an immediate plus one.
Yeah. And
it's very rare that you wouldn't. I don't know. It seems odd.
I totally agree. Using her Navy computer training, Exandia installed spyware on Manny's computer to spy on him.
That's so many women that I know.
I was just going to say.
How, like, prescient is that of this universe? I just feel like...
I feel like if there were smartphones back then, she would have been doing this, like, on his smartphone and, like, tracking his every trace.
She would have found that iPhone in 2 seconds.
Yeah. With this, she discovered Manny was indeed having a long-distance relationship with a woman in the DR. Manny was instant messaging the other woman how much he loved her, and they were sending pictures back and forth and chatting on Facebook. And I believe we have some of the messages here.
We do. I think we should role play again.
You want to?
Can't, I don't think we can role play because they're messages to her, right?
Right. They are. Yeah, they're messages to her.
You can read me the first one.
Okay, here's one. The second one's pretty long, and it's kind of, I just saw the word aroma, so I don't think we want to read that one. But the first one says, I will wait, my heart, for you to call me. When things happen to you that you don't like, think of me like a motive of happiness. You haven't left my thoughts either. I think of you all of the days, and I look at your picture to feel you close. I miss you a lot. Okay. That's not good, by the way. If someone's spying on you and she's seeing this, that's definitely not good. Yeah. So,
that's sweet, though.
Yeah, and the second one's very long. I'll read you the line about
it
the aroma.
It uses the word aroma.
You don't know what I would do for one of your kisses right now or a hug to have you really close to me and smell your aroma, your hair, your body. Matt just laughed a little bit. Your aroma?
Have you ever wanted to smell anyone else's aroma?
I don't
want
to smell anybody's aroma, no matter who
never.
It is.
I've never felt that way.
Never, never.
I don't want to smell anybody.
As I mentioned, she's spying on him. She knows what's up. She did find out that he was having this long-distance relationship. Exandia also found emails between Manny and a divorce lawyer. Uh-oh,
ooh.
This drink is getting a little too strong. I'm starting to slur my words a bit, but
we're
I'm
like
going to take
12
one more
minutes
sip.
In.
I know,
John
it's not even that much.
Faced.
Exandia's friend April said this made her the most furious and prompted her to make the first move to leave him. On Friday, October 11th, 2007...
Where were you Friday, October 11th, 2007?
I can't believe you just said this, because I will just say it right now. These dates are very important to me in my life because I was going through a very bad breakup. And these exact dates in 2007. So I wasn't going to mention it because I feel like who really cares if you don't know me? Why does that matter? But
are you Manny?
I could be
were
Manny.
Were you with Exandia?
That's the big twist at the end of this episode. I am Manny from the Dominican Republic. Right. Yes. Anyway.
Wait. In October 11, 2007, yeah, you were in college.
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. October 11, I was a sophomore.
I was a
budding sophomore.
You were just studying up, learning how to podcast, things like that.
That's right.
Absolutely. On Friday, October 11, 2007, April helped Exandia pack up the apartment. And the next day, April babysat Exandia's 5-year-old daughter while Exandia ran errands. Exandia told April she was going to Home Depot to pick up some equipment, which April assumed had something to do with the move. I think that's normal. Like, if you're moving, you're going to need duct tape and boxes. And,
yeah, sure. Body bags. You
and
know,
body
the
bags
thing.
And shovels and all those things you need to move.
Mm-hmm.
Take
ID.
But Exandia never returned from her errand. Sunday and Monday also came and went with no sign or word from her. Had something terrible happened to her? So here's this friend that's like, hey, can you babysit my daughter? And then disappears for 3 days.
Well, this is what I'm thinking. Like, how is April responding to the daughter being like, is
mom
coming back?
Right.
You know, what? That's sort of terrible, especially as a friend, because you don't really know what to do.
What to even say.
Three hours of babysitting as opposed to, you know.
Right.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So 3 days after she first left, Exandia returns. She turns up again. So, okay, this isn't a missing persons issue. She comes back.
Yeah.
However, when she does come back, she was wearing army fatigues and a t-shirt and boots covered in mud. She also smelled awful, speaking of aroma. An aroma I do not want to smell.
Not a good aroma, though.
A homicide inspector told Snap that April said it was an odor that she couldn't describe. Exandia wouldn't give April a straight answer about where she'd been and just said, I had to take care of my package. But okay. Like, okay.
Okay.
I understand, like, not pushing someone. You know when you're trying to get something from your friend, but you don't want to push it? And you're like, all right, they clearly don't want to talk about it.
Right.
I'm just going to hold off. Hey, can you babysit my kid for a few hours? And then you come back 3 days later smelling of God knows what and army fatigues.
Well,
no, you're going to answer my fucking questions.
And you don't want to push someone's buttons who is very good at computers and spyware.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Computers.
This isn't Sandra Bullock in The Net. You don't want to be like caught up in a web situation.
Great movie,
Thank
John.
You. I
really
love that
good movie.
I had it on VHS and would watch it on like snow days in elementary school.
Well, obviously, you know, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exandia's trying to avoid this. You know, I got to take care of my package. April had no idea what she meant, obviously, and thought Exandia seemed preoccupied, clearly. Exandia also told April she needed to wash her car.
Oh.
April continued to press Exandia for answers, and finally, Exandia told April she had killed Manny.
Oh, my God.
She said she'd shot him dead and burned his body in the countryside.
Mm.
Which would make sense for the smell, because I imagine, although I've never done it, Matt, maybe you can attest to this.
Yeah, Matt might
burning
know.
A body would smell bad.
Oh, God. I can't even imagine. I don't even want to, like, pretend to know what that smells like. I don't want to smell that aroma.
But here's the thing. Her friend, April, shrugged that off as a joke and didn't believe Exandia was telling the truth.
Yeah.
Like, this is my comment to you in the agenda. Is this something people usually joke about? Like, I killed Matt. Like, what?
What if I came in and said that to you?
Like, yeah,
what
if you're like, I just killed my ex-boyfriend.
Well, what if we came in, we're waiting for our martinis, and I'm like, ha, 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 I killed Matt, JK. you know, would you believe me?
Certainly if you didn't show up for Martinis and Murder and showed up 3 days later in army fatigues right. and smelled rancid. Yeah, right. I'd take it seriously.
Yeah, no, that's a very
good
point.
You normally drunk off raspberries, martinis? No, I wouldn't take it seriously. You in army fatigues? Yes.
I'm halfway to drunk on the raspberry martini,
you're
just
three
FYI.
Quarters, babe.
So in the days following Exandia's reappearance, she continued to act bizarrely. On October 16, 2007, April spoke to the police. She told police that Exandia had told her she shot Manny twice in the chest and that she'd kept his body in the closet for 2 days before dumping it. So,
but where did she, what closet? Because if she right. didn't come back for 3 days, where is she hiding this body in the closet? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and we'll get into more of this sort of what happened in the house type of stuff here later on. But the police immediately visited Exandia and Manny's apartment that night to find Exandia home alone. She told police Manny was gone, that she hadn't seen him in a few days and didn't know when he would be back.
Convenient.
Yeah, this seems suspicious to the police, so they questioned her on tape. One homicide inspector said, quote, she seemed calm, kind of matter-of-fact, no big deal type of attitude. Which we've heard this too throughout these episodes we've covered.
People's like callous response.
Exactly.
Like, oh.
They just don't really seem to have any kind of a reaction there. Exandia told the police that Manny had run off with another woman and that he'd done that before. She said he'd taken his cell phone with him, gave the police Manny's number, and told them to call him and talk to him directly. She said he'd called a few days earlier to talk to his daughter, but that she didn't know where he had called from. Then they
well,
asked.
Wouldn't she be pissed?
That's like, a good
point.
Like,
wouldn't you be like, oh, that asshole left me?
Well, the
like,
father of the daughter. That's a really good point.
Right. Like, wouldn't you have some sort of, even if you know he's done this before, even if you don't love him, like, wouldn't you have some sort of visceral reaction
that's
to this?
That's a really good point. I hadn't even thought about that. By the way, here I am telling you that's a good point. If you're playing the drinking game, take a chug. Apparently that's something I do a lot.
Apparently I make good points.
Look, Darren makes good points. What that's else right. can you
and
say?
And I curse a lot.
Right. Then they asked her about the story April had told them, that Exandia had confessed to killing her husband. Exandia denied telling April anything, but police weren't convinced. They tried to call Manny several times, but there was no answer. Finally, they returned to the apartment with a search warrant. Of the apartment, a detective said, quote, my impression of it was that someone was in a hurry to leave. When I got there, there was just trash everywhere. But there was no sign of a murder. What police did find, however, was Manny's cell phone.
Which Exandia had said that he took with her. So
right.
that's kind of the first among many red flags, I think, that were like, oh, she's lying.
Precisely.
So where the hell is Manny,
yeah.
basically? Police found more of Manny's personal items at the apartment, including his driver's license with an Oklahoma ID card, his military ID card, and a shaving kit. These are all kind of essential things that you think if he's running away to go be with another woman, he'd take, you know?
Yeah.
What man doesn't need a shaving kit?
Well, yeah, no, that's a good point.
Screw his ID.
That being said,
yeah.
my beard could use a little bit
Both
of a
you
trim.
And Matt could use a little trim. Next time
true.
You guys are here, I
yeah.
shaved for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
They actually found, so the police actually found a box of 38 caliber bullets. It is in a chamber of a gun, 6 bullets.
I have no idea.
Matt, do you know?
That sounds right. Like a
like
shotgun?
One of the, yeah, for like a. Look
He's
that
looking
up,
it
Matt.
Up. Yeah. Do something, my God.
Research.
Just sitting back here drinking martinis.
Yeah, so they seized all of this, as well as Exandia's computers. Computers. Maybe the drinking word should be how many times we say computers.
Computers.
So they seized all of this, as well as Exandia's computers and electronic devices that could have digital evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Police then searched Exandia's minivan on the advice April had given them, noting that she really wanted to clean her car,
right.
which she had originally said. The van actually did indeed smell like cleaning chemicals,
mm-hmm.
But in the back of the van, there was a very large blood stain.
Oh, wow, a blood stain.
I mean, that's not that uncommon. You know, like, I've got blood stains all over my minivan. That's just normal.
That's
it could
just
be raspberry
normal.
Martini.
That's true.
We don't know.
Who knows for sure?
There was still no body and no evidence that Exandia had actually killed her husband, and having no body in the case is really hard to prosecute.
Yeah.
You need that evidence that at least Manny was, in fact, killed. We
right.
don't know that yet. So police impounded the van for further investigation, were able to lift DNA from the bloodstain, but actually needed to do further testing in order to determine if it was Manny's or not.
Mm.
Police thought it would be impossible to find Manny's body if Exandia had dumped it in the countryside, as April had first reported, which
yeah.
Exandia had told her, as it was a heavily wooded area that would be impossible to thoroughly search.
Right.
On October 18th, 2007, 1 week had passed since Exandia told April she'd killed Manny, and police were becoming increasingly suspicious. A homicide detective said, quote, "It just didn't add up and make sense that a man would leave home, and leave all of his personal things behind." It was also telling that there was no activity on his credit cards and that he hadn't reported for his military duty, which feels like an egregious offense.
Yeah,
to
no,
me,
definitely.
I would imagine.
The military thing for sure.
Right. A prosecutor said, quote, "For Manny Salado to not show up for drill was very much out of character in the opinion of his commanding officer out there." But with no body, police couldn't tell if Manny had been murdered or was just AWOL, absence without leave, like Exandia told them. As they didn't have any evidence to arrest Exandia, she and her five-year-old daughter left town, went to Florida, where they moved in with her mother. Exandia told her family the same story she told police, that she and Manny had simply split up. But back in Oklahoma, police were still working on the case. They found out that before Manny disappeared, he'd spoken to a man named Rico Del Rosario via his cell phone call log. Man, in the days of, like, digitizing everything, call logs, social media, it's like, you better make sure you scrub the internet of everything to get away with it.
By the way, let me just interject really quickly because we have a note from Matt, our producer, saying, most small handguns have 6 to 10 chambers. Most full-size handguns, 12 to 15. Most 22 rifles, 10. So.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay.
Thank you, Matt, for doing something.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt.
She's holding up her glass. She needs a refill.
Matt?
God, he needs maybe a tip jar or something over here.
A tip jar? Is anyone going to put money in that?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I know I won't, at least.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
So cell phone logs, you know, that's how they kind of find out everything. And Rosario was a former coworker of Manny's, and police were able to find and interview him, which seems like a huge get. He told police they developed a casual friendship, even though they didn't work together long. On October 8th, Manny called Rosario. So this is 3 days before we were just talking about.
Right.
Manny called Rosario and apparently sounded nervous, uneasy. He asked Rosario to come and meet him, and Rosario arrived. Manny told him he needed a place to stay because he thought his wife was trying to kill him.
Now, this is interesting because, we've all been...
It's typical on a man's reaction, right?
Well, that, yeah, definitely that. But also, you know, everyone gets in heated arguments. Maybe, you know, they've gotten to a certain level of...
Yeah, like, I want to fucking kill you right now is different than I feel genuinely threatened.
Right, exactly. He's signaling to someone else, I'm in danger. Can you help me? And I don't think that's going to work well for Exandia when it comes, you know, down the road.
And she wore the pants in the relationship, remember? I mean, she controlled his finances.
Yeah.
So it does make sense that he felt very threatened. excuse me. But that's all the information Rosario got, just that he felt threatened. But suddenly, Manny's phone started to ring. Manny said Exandia was calling him, spoke to her for a few minutes, and then left. A prosecutor said, Manny says I'm going to go home and talk. Thank you, Matt. I'm going to go home
and talk
to Exandia and try and straighten all of this out. So maybe there seemed like sort of a reconciliation there that was going to happen. Rosario assumed that they made up that day and didn't know he was the last person to ever see Manny. That was the last he heard. But by that stage, the DNA results from the blood in the van had come back. And lo and behold, it was Manny's blood.
Wow. Well, meanwhile, the police were still investigating Exandia's computers. As far back as July 2007, Exandia had been Googling terms like spousal murder and how to kill your spouse. Okay, interesting. On October 8th, the day Manny told Rosario he was scared for his life, Exandia's searches got very sickening. She had been Googling terms like cannibalism, cooking people, and cannibalism recipes.
Ew.
That's not good.
I wonder if it went to like somebody's like famous cooking site and they were like, here's how to properly eat a human being.
Human being, yes. Other Google searches on her computer made August 28th, 2007 included handcuff, easy murder, murder methods, quick kill, strangulation, execution methods, human torture methods, and human castration. These are the most horrible things you could search. I have a thought about this, though.
Yeah.
You know, one article she saved was called Butchering the Human Body for Human Consumption. First of all, what blog or website is even posting things
like
this?
Yeah, like, how do you find... I mean, I know the internet is vast, but, like, the fact that you can search it and, like, an unlimited amount of topics come up. Like, how to properly boil a human head is quite disturbing.
That's what I mean. Like, shouldn't those things be shut down or at least... I don't know. Shouldn't people be reported whenever they're searching those things?
See,
I don't know.
The search history of any, like, Google or anything like that is going to get people in so much trouble.
Yeah. Oh, look, Matt just Googled it for us.
The first thing that comes up is butchering the human carcass for human consumption. People also ask, though, how do you cook a person? John, take the next one.
What meat is the closest to human flesh?
How do you cook a child?
Oh, my
Which
God.
Which is the worst.
Oh, my God.
One. I didn't even realize I could say that.
What does long pig taste like? Okay, get this away from me. I'm disgusted.
How to cook a child. Matt, can you scroll that down, though? Does that actually happen?
By the way, Matt's being investigated by the FBI.
No, even click that down arrow just for that one.
For the child one?
Just for the child one.
No, one
what
more
is
up.
Long pig?
I don't even know.
The first step in cooking a child is choose the recipe you want to use. Are there multiple?
I don't know. This is really disturbing. I feel like the FBI is going to kick down the studio door.
Well, here's the thing. What's funny is, like, I actually think you can learn so much about a person's, like, recent Google history. But should we be sort of, you know, you have a list there of some of the things. But should we be held accountable for the things that you search
things.
For? Because
well, that's
just like
point.
Matt is looking at that.
That's true.
I mean, yes.
Yeah, I mean, for all we know, she could have been watching Oxygen and an episode of Snapped and just wanted to see what comes up. You
well,
know?
I will say at NBC, one of the producers told me to look up faces of meth in Google Images. And I was at work and I typed it in and I was like, faces of meth. And then NBC wouldn't let me. And I was like, great. You've definitely got me red flagged by HR. Lawyers are going to help me out. Though, because now they know the story.
We do have a little, like, image. I guess this was used as evidence of the search history from 2007.
Give us a sampling, John.
Yeah, I mean, a couple more. One I thought that really stuck out to me was on August 23rd, 2007, searching for cardboard soundproof, which made me think, you know, if you're trying to do sound, anything soundproof, or, you know, and, like, the others, you know,
well,
minutes
you could be
later,
a voiceover artist.
That's true. Minutes later, however, things like layered cardboard, dungeon torture, true crime, surfing notorious murders, you know, a couple of people, police departments, you know, things that just don't kind of add up.
I think cannibalism is probably the biggest red flag there, because even if you do dungeon torture, the first thing that came up in my mind wasn't murder. It was like a BDSM thing.
Yeah, no,
you
totally.
You know what I mean?
Well, a police detective said, quote, she used the computer to search for, I believe it was pig roasting, barbecuing a full-size pig in an open pit.
Fair.
Maybe that's what this long pig thing is that Matt just talked about.
Fair.
Or showed us, I should say. She had even downloaded instructions on how to build the pit. A few days after Manny disappeared, she had purchased items including sheets of tin and cinder blocks needed to build the pit from Home Depot.
So that would make sense.
All things are pointing pretty clearly in one direction, if you ask me.
Yeah, there's a big pig roast happening.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's a holiday weekend.
And we were not invited.
We were not invited. Police questioned the sales clerk who had helped Exandia that day, and he told police Exandia said she couldn't tell him why she needed the materials. So this is interesting. They're able to track down the guy at Home Depot. Exandia's Google Maps searches also revealed she was looking for secluded places, perhaps to dump Manny's body.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. Police used the data to triangulate it with Exandia's and Manny's cell phones and found a 6-square-mile area in far eastern, very rural Oklahoma County. Investigators scoured the area, but they were still unable to find a body. Regardless, Exandia was charged anyway, a rare thing when there's no body. We just talked about this. If there's no body, it could potentially be a missing person thing, and then that's not necessarily a murder.
Right. There's no, like, proof.
Right.
And, yeah.
Well, she was arrested in Florida on December 16th, 2008.
So without a body,
oh,
it would be...
Can I interrupt you?
Of course.
One other thought I just thought of.
Please.
So here's this woman who is a computer savvy, Navy tech person.
Yeah.
And she didn't think that her search history was going to be looked at in some capacity.
That's what I'm thinking, because any 12-year-old knows.
Exactly.
To, like, delete your search history.
Oh, totally. Yes. So I just thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, for all the, I mean, that also plays into the case, and we're going to kind of see, like, for someone who is so smart, there were mistakes made,
and
I guess.
And thoughtful, yeah.
So is she guilty, really?
Yeah.
And without a body, it would be tough to prosecute Exandia. Her daughter, Alejandra, who was 17 at the time, said, quote, they just have a bunch of somebody told me this, that she said this. And they have this bloodstain in the back of her van. So I guess, you know, that's, you know, maybe not 100% conclusive, but it's certainly,
I just thought
it's certainly
that,
very telling.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a bloodstain in the back of your van, and it's not quite.
Someone could set you up.
That's true.
Someone could set you up beyond a reasonable doubt.
I wish we were able to find out more about what her reaction was about that bloodstain stuff, but it is what it is.
Well, her trial actually began on March 22nd, 2011.
Not that long ago.
Mm-mm. And when she was 39 years old, so mm-hmm. she's a fairly young woman.
Yeah.
She'd been, Manny had actually been missing for more than 2.5 years at this point.
Yeah.
The prosecutors argued that she killed Manny, burned the body in the countryside, which makes sense because there's no body to... you know, fine.
That had been found, yeah.
Her daughter, Alejandra, said, quote, it was just disgusting, some of the stuff they were saying. I didn't want to believe it. I didn't believe it, and I couldn't believe it.
Mm.
The prosecution was relying purely on circumstantial evidence to convict Exandia. In court, Exandia appeared professional, dressed in a suit and glasses. In fact, we have some pictures here of her sort of casually with Manny and with her daughter, and with every casual picture, she's not wearing glasses. She looks dressed down, very proper, very polite, but in these courtroom photos, she's dressed in a suit, looks super professional, she has glasses, her hair is pulled back. She came to court looking right.
Yeah, and looking like someone who couldn't murder somebody. And Matt made a good point before we started recording that, you know, this was very Jodi Arias of her. You know, Jodi Arias.
Good point.
All that stuff happened with her, and she showed up to court in this as this, you know, polite, petite woman with glasses. And kind of gave this sort of image that maybe she was just your run-of-the-mill professional.
And it's kind of hard to believe that those things really matter, but they really matter. If you look at anything,
jury,
Scott Peterson,
yeah.
you know, not reacting to things, O.J. Simpson mm-hmm. trial, everything like that, it all comes down to the finest details.
Right.
And so in court, obviously, you know, she looked professional. A prosecutor actually said, I don't know if there's any such thing as what a murderer is supposed to look like,
mm-hmm.
but she definitely didn't look like it. She looked like an innocent, intellectual, harmless lady, which is true.
Well, and I'm like, okay, you're a prosecutor. Like, why are you even... I thought this quote was just very weird to me. If you're a prosecutor, you know that looks shouldn't give away anything. So why are you even commenting that she looked like an innocent, intellectual, harmless lady? Like, what's the point of that?
Yeah.
You know better than that. We know better than that.
Well, you're also, like, putting things in our mind.
Exactly.
Think of her as an innocent lady. So
right.
prosecutors used April and Rosario's stories about Exandia's alleged confession and Manny apparently saying he was scared of his wife in their argument.
Mm-hmm.
They also had the witness testimony of Exandia's ex-lover, Edwin Rivera, who said Exandia told him she... quote, cooked her husband's body after shooting him. Quote, she said she cut it to pieces or sections, he testified, which mm-hmm. would make sense with the cannibalism searches.
Right.
And also the fact that she cooked him, so right. there would be nobody to find.
Yeah.
Exandia's daughter said, it hurt me to my heart to hear and see some of the things that people that are supposedly my mom's friends and they claim that they care about her were saying about her. That has to be so hard to hear as the daughter.
I'm sure, yeah.
She's only 17 at the time. The prosecution argued Manny wouldn't just leave without his cell phone or ID. They also argued that he wouldn't abandon his daughter like that without even an attempt to contact her or any other family or friends in over 2.5 years. That does mm-hmm. seem quite odd.
That's a long time, yeah.
Exandia's attorney said, quote, the Salado family was so adamant that Manny would not go for months at a time without contacting them. While the prosecutors couldn't prove Manny was dead, they used Exandia's search history as further suggestion that he might be, probably
yeah.
was. The defense argued that the prosecution story was just too far-fetched to be true. So here we go, back and forth, back and forth. Exandia's daughter said, there's no way that my mom could do anything so violent or animalistic, especially to someone that she once cared about. The defense said that Manny had disappeared of his own volition in an attempt to ditch his responsibilities to go back to the Dominican Republic, a theory that was bolstered by the fact that he had a girlfriend there.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe new life, you know, new choices.
Right.
They argued he left his ID behind because he was creating a new identity for himself. And Exandia had killed him. Why would she leave that stuff in the apartment for police to find? She's clearly knowledgeable. She's clearly smart. Anybody Excuse knows me. That when you claim to not have his cell phone and then he
yeah.
shows up in your apartment, that just seems so like... criminal 101 to me.
Totally, yeah.
Exandia's attorney said, quote, she had close to 3 days to get rid of the cell phone, to get rid of the ID cards, and all that stuff remained at the house, and that's always a mystery to me. If you're really serious of trying to dispose of a body and to cover up a killing, why would you do that? It's purely, that's a Matt killing right there, because it's lazy.
It's lazy work.
And here's the thing, there's no blood in the house. So the defense argued that the theory that Exandia killed Manny there and chopped him up before putting him in the van simply couldn't be true, especially as there was no way she could have hauled his 200-pound body, dead weight, mind you,
yeah.
intact because she was only 5'6", 125 pounds.
Well, this was the whole thing about the body being in the closet. If there was no blood, no evidence whatsoever, then it wasn't there, and that kind of takes away
How
that
could
story.
It be there? There's not one, like, iota of anything.
Right.
Her attorney told Snapco she couldn't lift that much weight. She just, it would take superhuman strength to do what they were claiming. Exandia was so confident in these arguments, she didn't even take the stand in trial.
Well, on March 29th, 2011, after deliberating for 2 hours, the jury reached their conclusion, guilty of murder in the first degree.
Wow.
Exandia did not appear surprised. The judge told Snap, quote, there was absolutely no reaction from Mrs. Salado at all. Absolutely nothing. She was sentenced to life without parole. Her attorney said, quote, I was surprised by there was no evidence that she had ever been in trouble before. She was a mother. She had been in the service, end quote. So-called no-body cases are extremely rare. We just mentioned that. The first murder conviction in Oklahoma in such a case was in 1983. The Oklahoma Court of Criminal Appeals upheld that conviction in 1987. But the prosecutor had a different notion and told Snapped, quote, there's no question in my mind that justice requires that she spend every last day of her natural life in the penitentiary. To this day, Manny's body hasn't been found. Exandia's daughter still believes she's innocent and said, quote, my mom would never hurt someone that she cared about so much. My best hope is that Manny will come out of hiding and let everyone know that he's okay so my mom can come home and finish her life. So the daughter seems very secure that there's no possible way that she could have done this.
Before we wrap up, and I just have a quick question for you, because you were at Crime Con and you interviewed, what's her name, Lori, what's her last name from, she's in Cold Justice.
Oh, Kelly Siegler.
She she said that circumstantial evidence is like super important, as you had said. So here it is, there's no body.
Yeah.
Circumstantial evidence of what Exandia had said. What do you think about that? I mean, granted, there's blood in her van.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she said to her friend that she had chopped this person. She said to her ex-lover she had chopped this person up. You know, Manny, like, how important is circumstantial evidence for her to get life without the possibility of parole?
That's a good question. I mean, Kelly Siegler definitely made me rethink the way. By the way, Cold Justice premieres July 22nd if you want to check out Kelly Siegler.
Should. She's so smart.
Yeah, oh my God, it's so good. My thing is, okay, we have his blood, a huge blood stain that is his, in her van. So for me, it's all about a timeline. We need to find out who had the van and when, and track that down to every minute of the day. And if it's her van and she was the only one driving it, you know, if she's not, say that she did kill him or say that she didn't kill him, she needs to be able to prove that she didn't, because otherwise, how are you talking about this blood stain in the back of your van?
But you also don't need to prove, like, you're innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
So you can't really prove a negative. Like, it wasn't her car, but again, she could have been set up. And it is a good point to say, like, she had 3 days to dispose of all of his shit, and she never did
that. No, that is a good
point. So there is something to me to say, like, wow, with no body being formed, that does seem so crazy that they just said, you know, guilty of murder, life without the possibility of parole.
Yeah.
That seems a little, I'm not saying she didn't do it or that she did, but the evidence seems, I don't know, not fully there for me, I guess.
I mean, you know, like I said, for all we know about these Google searches, she could have been watching an episode of Snapped. I mean, it's easy to look at these and be like, what kind of maniac Googles this stuff? But
there are people who are actually into crime who would murder it. Matt Googled it right there.
Right here
so
in
it's
front
like,
of us. So.
It's hard to, I don't know. There's Matt, a lot of questions in this case for me.
Matt has now implicated himself in a murder by Googling things.
And what
for
spices
us.
Did you use to make him delicious?
Right, you know, and like where are those pies now?
Do we think she ate him? Like, we don't
oh,
know.
Oh, God, yeah. Who knows? And I can only take so much before my stomach gets queasy. So we should definitely move on.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, and poor daughter, though. The daughter has to be.
Well, she's lost both of her parents now. I mean, imagine what that must.
To witness that trial, too, is like.
It's horrible.
Oh, my God.
Well, let's get to some listener shout outs. We love you guys hitting us up on social media. Why don't you take the first one?
Sure. Lynn's on Twitter says, binge listen to Martinis and Murder in a week. How am I supposed to wait till next week for a new episode? Thank you so much for binging us in a week.
This was, I feel like there were a couple people that binged the episode. I don't know if it was the holiday weekend, maybe.
Definitely.
You know, I was letting people know if you're traveling for the holidays, you know, download Martinis and Murder. So that could have been part of that.
Yes.
Thank you, Linz. Suze on Twitter says, quote, very sneaky that, Matt. At least I can add, quote, visit Arizona to my bucket list. Yes. Thank you, Suze. Last week I was mispronouncing many words on the episode. It was a very boozy, drunken episode with margaritas. I think that'll be the last time we have tequila on the show for a long time.
Oh, forever.
Because I could barely get through that episode.
It's banned.
Maria also tweeted me and said, Jay Thrasher, it's so cute how you and Carpe Darren get drunk and try not to slur your words. Hashtag martinis and murder. Hashtag Dan, your wife is here.
Okay, so that's a new hashtag. Dan, your wife is here.
I'm loving that hashtag.
But also, Maria, it's really John that slurred?
I was just going to say, you should definitely defend yourself because it was entirely
God
me.
God damn it, Maria.
I'm such a lightweight. It only took literally one margarita for me to start crossing my eyes.
No, I slur too. John and I are the same camp, but I just want to say.
That's true.
I know all 50 cents. guys, honestly, John has been forwarding all these voicemails to me. As you know, we have a hotline open.
Is this not the most fun we've ever had on this show?
It's so fun. We're going to react a couple of them now, but our hotline is open for all of you. Call and leave us voicemails. Let us know what you love or don't love about the show. You know, yell at Matt.
We would really love if someone would really yell at Matt.
Here is the number for it, 212-664-2072. Again, leave us whatever comment you want. We just love to hear your voice. 212-664-2072.
We got a couple of really fun ones this week, so let's get right into those voicemails. Here's the first one now.
Message 14.
Hey, this is Lindsay in Laramie, Wyoming, and I think because Darren and John have to drink closer to the morning than the evening, maybe, just maybe, Matt should make a martini with coffee in it. How about that? Wouldn't that be great? That's a great idea. So, how about that, Matt? Oh, and hold the spit.
I love this idea.
I agree. When we did that one, that was like at 11 a.m. Remember I said we should have made an espresso martini and we should have gotten that. But Matt's like a little slow. And so he couldn't pick up on that. It probably took him a week to find coffee beans, you know, because we're in New York City. Like,
where can
we have
get
really
anything?
Limited resources here in New York City. Really, really limited.
We're
an island. You know what
I
mean?
We're just in the epicenter of the universe. You know?
Yeah, we're on an island. Knows? No one talks to us. No one even knows we exist. People forget about New York City all the time.
All right. Let's go to the next voicemail.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say thank you. I absolutely love your podcast. I listen to it while I'm at work, and the day just flies by. The guys at my job site love it. We listen to it during lunch, and it's the best. So thanks a million. Also, I'm going camping on a houseboat, so house party on a boat. I'm definitely going to be murdered next week. And it's in Northern California, so I think we can all assume that it's Matt. Anyways, thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
I mean, agreed. Because a house party alone is bad news, let alone a house party on a boat.
On a boat.
Where that's double.
Where your body could potentially be dumped into the ocean. That's just a lot of risk that I would not want to take.
But it's clean.
Yeah, that's true.
Get in, get out. You know what I mean?
Here's one more.
Hey, Darren. Hey, John. And maybe Matt. Hey, this is Kim from Atlanta. I love your show. But I got a sneaky feeling that John sounds an awful lot like Matt. You guys are great. Keep it up.
Well, thank you for that voicemail. This is also assuming that the voice you all heard was actually Matt. You know, there are
people making assumptions here.
Yeah, there are a lot of behind the scenes goings on here that you never know, you know, who may or may not be in this room that we don't even talk about. So that's a potential, or yeah, you're right. It could be
there
Matt.
There could be more than three outside of me, you, and Matt. There could be more people here.
You know, the lawyers are on the phone. You could have just misheard them. It's really hard to say. You just really never know.
Exactly.
Let's go on to another one here.
Hey, guys. My name is Suzanne M. from Charlotte, and you are my favorite podcast. And I just wanted to let you guys know that I would love to start making Cheers Bitch shot glasses. Or martini glasses, and that is our new thing in my little friend group with my one best friend from Raleigh, shout out to RJ, that we are now saying cheers, bitch, after every drink. So I would love to be on your podcast, and I will listen to you guys soon. Bye. Cheers, bitch.
That's so sweet that she wants to make shot glasses. That's awesome. We would love them.
Well, it's a good time to mention this because we can make an announcement right now that we are finalizing plans to open a mailing address for Martinis and Murder. So we should have an address ready for you guys maybe next week, maybe the week after that. It's in process, but we will have a place where you can send us fan mail and any kind of cool packages. Please no body parts. Please no,
no blood.
No murder weapons.
No body fluids.
Yeah, exactly.
Aromas are welcome, though, according to John.
I don't know. Keep your aromas at home, if you ask me.
But, of course, thank you to everyone for your case suggestions. We've been writing them down. We're making a list. We're banking those, and we're going to consider them for a future episode for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So, once again, thank you for your amazing
contribution. Thank
you. Yeah, voicemails. July is such an exciting month here at Oxygen. We are rebranding entirely in just a few weeks. Actually, a few days, if you really think about it.
A few days, and it looks so good, as I've said before. We've got Snapped on Sundays, Cold Justice, and The Jury Speaks are premiering July 22nd.
And these shows are so awesome. Like we just mentioned, Kelly Siegler, who we talked to at CrimeCon, is on Cold Justice. If you love this podcast, you're going to love what's coming to Oxygen this month. So make sure you are tuning in and finding it on your TV.
It's probably a good time to wrap with a moral.
Okay, yes.
Okay, so
we had one at the top of the show.
We know to delete your Google searches.
That's a good one, yes.
This is a good one for you because you looked up how to cook a child.
Right.
Can recover it anyway. He's probably right.
Oh, that's true. Well, we are at NBC. They're going to definitely have
the
everything.
The faces of meth thing.
Yes.
I've learned my lesson. I'm looking up things that are proper from
there
now
you
on.
Go.
But, you know, I mean.
Don't cheat, I think, is a good one. You know, live your best life.
That's good. But if everybody were killed who cheated, like the entire population of the world would probably be
dead.
We wouldn't
continue.
So, but that's a good. Yeah. You know, communicate with your significant other.
That's a good way
to put
it.
Try and work those things out. And if not, you know, don't. You know, kill your significant other, like divorce them.
Well, also,
or like leave them.
And also keep track of your van because you don't want a mysterious blood stain to show up and then you get sent to jail for the rest of your life. That's another thing we could
Very
mention.
Good point.
All right. Well, that's it for this week's episode of Martinis and Murder.
Thank you for listening.
So much fun. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back with an all new episode next week. Bye.
Oh, yeah. Bye, guys.